This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade had a positive Friday after a rough couple days last week. September corn finished 6¾ cents higher, but finished just short of $4 at $3.99 and a half. December corn finished up 7 to $4.09 and a half, and March corn of next year finished 7¼ cents higher to $4.20 and a half. Soybeans for August gained 3¼ to $8.50 and a quarter. September beans gained 3 to $8.55 and three quarters Friday, and November beans finished 2¼ cents higher to $8.68 and a half. Chicago wheat for September gained 15 to $4.90 and three quarters. December wheat finished 10¾ cents higher Friday to $4.91 and a half. And March of next year wheat finished 8¾ cents higher to $5.5. Soybean meal for August was 80 cents lower to $2.92.40. September bean meal was 60 cents lower to $2.94.50. And October bean meal lost 50 cents to $2.96.20. And finally, soybean oil for August gained 51 cents to $28.19. September bean oil gained 52 cents to $28.32. And October bean oil was also up 52 cents to $28.44. Now we'll take you to the State Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Friday's report, grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Hill and country grain prices are mixed on Friday afternoon. Wheat gained on improving exports and technical buying lifted corn values. In northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 6 cents at 364 to 399. Soybean bids are mostly 1 to 2 cents higher at 790 to 812. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 6 to 7 cents, 385 to 411. Soybean bids are steady to 3 cents higher at 807 to 850. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 351 to 423. Soybean bids were steady at 5 cents higher at 811 to 842. And wheat bids were up 10 to 14 cents at 450 to 491. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 to 7 cents higher at 831 to 864. Basis was steadied up for 38 under to 5 under the November. iPro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $286.50 to $299.50 a ton, down 60 cents a ton, with basis unchanged at 38 under to 5 under the November. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 to 7 cents higher at $4.15 to $4.28, with basis steady to down 2 at 15 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 2 to 5 cents higher at $3.64 to $4. With basis down 2 to 5 at 3600 option this September. Soybeans ended up 3 to 7 cents at 816 to 825, with basis steady to up 4 at 5300 to 44 under the November. New crop wheat prices were up 15 cents at 441 to 476, with basis unchanged at 1500 to 15 under the September. East St. Louis March flowing terminal place, sir, producer corn bids 2 to 7 higher, 383 to 391. These elevators raised their soybean prices 4 cents, quotations at 839 to 846. Soft wheat closed up 15 cents at 495 to 496. Milo ended the day 7 cents higher at 445 to 446. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at $3.59 to $4, soybeans at $8.04 to $8.40. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 381 to 403, soybeans at 811 to 855, and in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 355 to 424, and soybeans at 805 to 837. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures Friday finished lower across the board. Live cattle for August were 22 cents lower to 107.65. October live cattle lost 90 cents Friday to 107.82, and December live cattle finished down $1.07 to 111.77. August feeders were down $1.60 to 139.62. September feeders finished $3.30 lower to 138.22, and October feeders were down $3.55 to 137.97. Finally, August lean hogs were 52 cents lower to 76.27 on Friday. October lean hogs lost $1.75 to 65.72, and December lean hogs contract lost $3 to $63.25. And in results from the Greenville Livestock Auction from their last sale Wednesday, July 31st, there were 849 total receipts, 782 of which were in cattle. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 on the high choice and steady on low choice and selects. Holstein steers traded $2 to $4 higher on the high choice and a dollar higher on low choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded $5 to $10 higher on the medium-large 1 to 2s and unevenly steady on the unvaccinated, unweaned, short-weaned calves and the medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $1 to $2 higher on the better cows and $2 to $3 higher on the slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded $2 higher. On the sheep and goat side of things, there were 67 sold by hundredweight, and the demand and supply of sheep and goats is getting better as we wind down summer 2019. Now, though, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 79 cents lower, in a range of 68 to 84.50, with a weighted average carcass price of 77.20. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $3 to $6 higher, with light to good demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 30 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 32 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 34 to 44, and over 600 pounds, $35 to $46. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were $3 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $49 to $55. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts a total of $20,400. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at $115 to $118. In on address basis at 184. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 116. In on address basis at 182 to 184. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was steady, so 323 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was 86.64, which is $1.15 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $2.1473, which is 49 cents higher, while select carcasses are $1.9063, which is $1.29 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 114,000 compared to 119,000 last week, 113,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 458,000 compared to 459,000 last week and 447,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News, to start off a new week on this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show, President Trump's planned new tariff on remaining Chinese exports to the U.S. is not going over well with American agriculture, despite the patience of many in the farming community with the tariff war so far. A new 10% tariff on remaining $300 billion in China's exports to the U.S. will start September 1st because China gave no ground in renewed trade talks and failed to buy more U.S. ag goods as promised. All of that spurred President Trump to act, but American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Salmonson says it's not what farmers had in mind.
We'd rather see the negotiations than tariffs. Tariffs bring on more retaliation. I mean, right now, China is basically retaliating with higher tariffs against almost all of U.S. exports. But, of course, so you can say, well, what else can they do? Well, they can always raise. You can always increase tariffs, or you could impose some non-tariff barriers.
Salmonson says the president could still delay the new tariffs again if there are positive developments, though the next round of talks isn't planned until after Trump's September 1st tariff deadline. In the meantime, attention also focused on Japan, now in trade talks with the United States.
We've been hearing some positive news that we hope very soon. In fact, things were said maybe next month. There would be some action. We could get a deal with Japan, focusing on agriculture, improving beef, pork, and a variety of other product exports into Japan. There, really, time is of the essence as every month goes by. We're falling behind our competitors who are getting better tariff treatment, lower tariffs all the time.
The Farm Bureau, meantime, praised the Senate passage of the Family Farmer Relief Act to raise the Chapter 12 bankruptcy debt cap to $10 million, allowing more family farmers to seek debt relief. AFB President Zippy Duval says the bill now headed to the president will help farmers deal with rising bankruptcies amid many years of weak commodity prices and falling profits. And as more farmers are filing bankruptcies after years of low farm income, we'll take a look into that story more in depth with Chad Smith, who has a story from Washington.
Following years of low farm income, bankruptcies are on the rise. The American Farm Bureau Federation says delinquency rates are above the historical average and trending in the wrong direction. Allison Wilton, AFBF economic analysis intern, says the number of Chapter 12 bankruptcies is rising significantly.
Since June 2018, there were a total of 535 Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings. This is an increase of 13%. States in the Midwest, such as Kansas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, had the highest number of filings, and the Midwest overall had a total of 240 filings, the highest in the nation.
Wilton says the depressed farm economy is driving the uptick in bankruptcy filings.
The deteriorating financial conditions for farmers and ranchers are a direct result of several years of low farm income, a low return on farm assets, mounting debt, more natural disasters, and the second year of retaliatory tariffs on many U.S. agricultural products.
Currently, Chapter 12 bankruptcies are capped by a $4.1 million debt limit, which Wilton says prevents many family farmers from filing. However, Congress passed legislation to increase the cap.
The Family Farmer Relief Act updates the Chapter 12 bankruptcy eligibility by raising the debt limit from $4.1 million to $10 million. This allows more farmers the opportunity to qualify under Chapter 12 bankruptcies and gives producers and their creditors a better chance to reorganize and avoid mass liquidation, ultimately preventing further consolidation in the agriculture industry.
Chad Smith, Washington.
In our last national story for this Monday morning, the Federal Communications Commission approved an order late last week to help better identify gaps in broadband coverage throughout rural America. An AgriPulse report says the agency will identify those gaps with a new data collection process. The commission had previously established a new process to gather data for broadband deployment maps. However, that process has drawn criticism for its inaccuracies. The agency will try to collect more accurate broadband deployment data by communicating with internet service providers and also getting comments from the public on the accuracy of the service maps. FCC Commission Chair Ajit Pai says the agency will no longer count everyone in a census block as served by broadband if just one person in a block is served. A census block in an urban area could be one city block in an urban environment. However, a census block in rural areas could be hundreds of miles. Rural broadband advocates, Congress, as well as the Secretary of Ag, Sonny Perdue, will have all criticized the FCC's broadband access maps as inaccurate. The agency's most recent report shows that more than 21 million people have no access to high-speed broadband internet. And back in July, I had a conversation with Congressman Roddy Davis on how rural broadband expansion in our local area is improving and expanding.
We implemented more rural broadband opportunities in the Farm Bill. And another important aspect, and this was brought to my attention by my good buddy, Mike Weaver over in Calhoun County. You know, Mike talked about having companies that get federal investment to expand broadband to rural areas like Calhoun County, but they don't live up to the speeds that they've promised. So now, because of his recommendation, because of what we were able to accomplish in the Farm Bill, there are standards that these companies have to follow, and they're going to be held accountable if they don't live up to expectations. That's a good thing. It's another locally grown policy change that we were able to now turn into law. So when it comes to broadband, it's not just about getting money to companies who say they're going to go to rural areas. It's about making sure we truly serve the last mile. You know, it wasn't too long ago that folks in Hillsborough came to me saying they wanted government to invest in broadband in Hillsborough. We didn't need government to invest in broadband in the city of Hillsborough. Adam and Billy at CTI in Taylorville, when asked by Hillsborough, invested in Hillsborough and got the customers to be able to make it a good business opportunity for them. And their folks in Hillsborough now actually get very good opportunities to have 1 gigabyte speed. The federal government wouldn't have, number one, had that service there by now and wouldn't have provided it up to those standards, but we need the government to invest in the areas that aren't in a city block area, that aren't in a subdivision. They may be out in the rural communities, just like we did for many years with rural electric and rural telephone. And when we invested in rural telephone service, that person who got the telephone in that with that rural electric co-op or rural telephone co-op, they expected that phone to work exactly the same way that a phone works in Litchfield, Illinois. And we ought to expect the same when it comes to broadband access, too. And that's what I'm trying to get folks to focus on out here.
And when it comes to the investment by the government, can a local cooperative of CTI or another company such as that, can they invest, can they apply, I suppose, for that money from the government to help them expand further throughout the local area?
Well, the key is, let's see how the new Farm Bill is going to treat the rural broadband expansion that we put in there. And I would love to see companies that are already adjacent to those areas be able to compete for the last mile, where it's just not affordable for a business plan and a business model to go miles upon miles for one or two customers. That's where the government needs to help companies like CTI and others be able to get their already good service out into those areas. And imagine, I mean, that's something that we've been doing over the last two decades with fiber, and we're going to continue to lay those fiber cables all throughout rural America. And I certainly hope we partner with the companies that are in existence rather than trying to prop up companies that have zero history of being able to live up to the service standards that they may promise.
And again, that was Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. And also, expanding rural broadband access continues to be a top priority for the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture as well.
Because everywhere I go, it's a matter, you know, I'm talking to a group of people and I talk about, you know, I run through the list of items that we're working on. And I bring up broadband and I'll say to the crowd, I'm sure that everybody in this room has, you know, adequate service across the state or in their area. And there's all these heads are going, you know, shaking no and thumbs down. And so it's an issue that really resonates across the state. And really it's not the areas, it's a combination of areas that are unserved, but maybe more importantly, are underserved. So where I live, just north of Rushville in Schuyler County, I live on a small farm down there. I have internet service at my house, but I don't have a consistent level of service to be able to run, you know, many of the programs that we need to run on our computers today. And here's an example. I have a licensed auctioneer, and so every 2 years I have to take a renewal. I have to update my license and take continuing education. And this year, it was only available on a webinar, and so it was a 2-day webinar, morning, afternoon, 2 days. And so I wanted to take that. I couldn't do it at my home because I didn't have adequate service to run my computer to do the webinar. So I had to go into the local library, which was very nice. Appreciate the opportunity there, but it's a consistent issue across the state of Illinois. And so it's one thing that the Governor Pritzker has actually asked me to take the lead on, and we've got some funding in a capital bill, and I think we're going to be able to do some good things.
Director of Agriculture John Sullivan took over the state's top ag post back in January. And moving on into more state ag news from the Department of Agriculture, there's no better way to open the 2019 state fair than cutting the ribbon on her crown jewel, the Coliseum. After being condemned in 2016 due to rusted support column bases and rotted support beams, the Coliseum will once again be open for business during the fair. You can join everyone in welcoming the events back to the 118-year-old structure with a ceremonial ribbon cutting on Friday, August 9th, at 10 a.m. Governor J.B. Pritzker, Director of Agriculture John Sullivan, former Director of Agriculture Raymond Poe, along with Kevin Gordon, State Fair Manager, as well as local and state dignitaries, will be on hand for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. And in other news from the Department of Agriculture and the State Fair, back in June, the Illinois Department of Agriculture set aside a plot of land on the state fairgrounds to educate fairgoers about hemp. 8 CBD plants and 100 industrial hemp plants were planted next to the U of I Master Gardeners, located on 8th Street behind the swine barn. The two types of plants can be easily spotted. The CBD variety needs space to branch out and produce more buds for oil. The industrial strains, on the other hand, are planted close together, so they will grow tall and skinny, for producing long, straight stems ideal for fiber and herd production. Hemp has a long history here in the United States, and Americans were once legally bound to grow hemp during the colonial era and early republic. Today, hemp is used to make a variety of products, from healing oils to textiles to hempcrete, which is used as a material in construction. It is also important to note that hemp has zero psychotropic effects when consumed and became completely legal with the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill. An Illinois Department of Agriculture representative will be giving presentations at the hemp plot daily during the fair from 1 to 3, as well as showcasing items made from hemp. There will also be an educational display inside the Illinois Department of Agriculture tent, which is open daily at the fair from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Moving on to local events coming up in the coming weeks, CHS's Family Fun Day will be held on Saturday, August 17th, and with more on the event, I spoke with Aaron Williams of CHS.
The thing that we have coming up in August is our annual customer appreciation event called CHS Family Fun Day, and it is an incredible event. We invite all of our customers to come out, bring their families, and enjoy a totally free event. There's tons of games and bouncy houses and live entertainment for the kids and prizes that will be given away. And there's a band, and we open up the beer tent, and there's wonderful food cooked by our awesome team at CHS. So we just invite all customers to come out and enjoy a day together.
And this Family Fun Day is almost like a fair within itself.
It is, yeah. So it's held at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds in Carlinville. Yeah, and it's just our way to say thanks for doing business with us. We appreciate you. We honor you. We honor what you do for our world and our community.
And in a year like this, with the struggles and everything, something like that, a little bit of give back to the farmer for all of he's had to deal with this year would probably be definitely appreciated.
We hope so. We hope so. We know that this year is a tough year, and will probably continue to be a little tougher. But we're optimistic that it's going to get done. It's going to get done. And so we just want to extend just a friendly hand to our customers to say thanks. Bring your family. We're all about family at CHS. And so it's just something to bless them.
And again, that was Aaron Williams of CHS. And mark your calendar for CHS Family Fun Day to be held on Saturday, August 17th at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds in Carlinville. Coming up the end of the week, the Farm Bureau, along with the RFD Radio Network, will be hosting the 20th Annual Master Showmanship Contest at the State Fair on Friday, August 9th. The event will be held in the Junior Livestock Barn starting at 7:30 in the evening or 30 minutes following the conclusion of the Beef Cattle Show. 4-H youth who have won Master Showmanship at the County Division will have the opportunity to compete in the Master Showmanship Contest. The contestants will show beef, swine, and sheep, competing to be named the Master Showman. Their placing will be determined by their ability to handle the livestock and answer questions posed by the judges about each species. Winners from each species will receive $100 and other prizes. The overall top three winners will receive $500, $300, and $200, respectively, to first, second, and third. A show box, a belt buckle, and various other prizes will be given. A T-shirt and other prizes will each be given to each participant as well. 2019 is the 20th year of the annual contest. Started by the Illinois Farm Broadcasters, the Master Showmanship Contest was created to recognize hardworking and successful youth. The competition provides an occasion for 4-H youth to compete at the state level. And coming up in local ag events, today, Monday, will be an All About Herbs seminar to be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. That seminar will be held today from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Then this evening will be 4-H International Night at the Extension Office, featuring the country of South Korea. This is open to all ages in 4-H and will be held tonight from 7 until 8. Also, the U of I Extension will be hosting a tree selection and care workshop. It will be held again at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he presents all the topics of tree care, selection, planting, and more. The program will be taking place a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, August 13th, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. The program is free and open to the public, and you can pre-register by visiting the website go.illinois.edu/CJMM or by calling the office at 217-532-3941. They're asking you to please register by next Monday, August 12th. And remember, as always, if you have any ag news for the morning or afternoon farm shows, you can email that news to me at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, August 5th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.